Guidance.
Guidance, go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, greetings, everyone, from Florida's Space Coast, where at last the temperature has returned to some sense of normalcy for this time of year. I am Jim Behnke, and this is the January 16th, 2010 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, for the next hour, we are going to talk about our nation's space program on a variety of fronts, and we certainly do have a lot to cover today. A lot's been going on. At any time along the way, if you have a question or comment about anything having to do with our space program, whether we're talking about it or not, please feel free to call in and join me on the program. The numbers, 768-1240 here along Florida Space Coast. AT&T wireless customers here locally can also punch in star 1240 to reach us with the free phone call. If you are listening to our live stream online at WMMBAM.com, you can certainly call us from anywhere in the world at 321-768-1240. Or send me an email with your questions or comments to spacetalking@AOL.com, as many of you have done in the past, and we certainly do thank you for that. Well, again, a lot to talk about, a lot of news, and unfortunately, the leading news item in space, only because it seemed to have gotten a lot of play around the nation, and I've got a bunch of email and people asking me about it, of course, is this incident in the Orbiter Processing Facility at the Kennedy Space Center this week, in which a small amount of cocaine was found in a little bag outside a bathroom in the hangar where they're preparing Discovery for launch. About 200 people have access to this area with the secure badges that are required to get in and out, and they were being tested for the presence of drugs. I think the KSC authorities are handling it just as they're supposed to. Kennedy Space Center Director Bob Cabana said he was confident that safety had not been compromised. He said, quote, "I have absolutely no concern for the safety of the processing of the vehicle." He said there are plenty of checks and balances, and we're going to take care of this, and I have no doubt that they will. There are checks and balances along the way to make sure that there nothing untoward was happening in that hangar and no one was on any kind of influence. But I do want to say this, and these are the kind of things I think people are wanting to say and wanting to hear, but perhaps isn't quite so diplomatic to be printing or talking about. But let me say this, and you know, what can you say? Of all the stupid, brainless things to do, you know, it's bad enough that this idiot feels that he or she has to use illegal drugs for whatever escape they need. That's stupid. It's sad. But when you consider, you know, what a privilege it is to be among those 200 people in the nation, who get to work in that hangar in OPF-3 around a space shuttle, contribute something that benefits all of humanity, and in doing so, in doing that work, you're also at the same time responsible for the lives of the astronauts who are flying on board that vehicle, every person in that hangar, whether you're checking off a thing on a piece of paper or whether you're turning a bolt or attaching a piece of Velcro, I mean, whatever it is, whatever your job is, you're responsible for the safety of that mission when that happens. And this team knows that. But some idiot out there has to go around, you know, and have this problem. And maybe it is a problem. We don't know. We don't know all the details. We may never need to know them. We may never know them. We may never need to know them. But bottom line is, I don't know. I don't know all of it, and I don't get it. I don't understand that kind of mentality. I don't understand that kind of need. Whoever this person is, you know, and I hope the authorities are able to identify him or her and fully prosecute them with zero tolerance. I mean, they broke the law, and the law is there, and that needs to be enforced, and a message needs to be sent. And at the same time, I hope that this person, whoever they are, gets some help, you know, realizes that drugs, cocaine or whatever is not the answer to life's problems. You know, it never is and never will be. But more importantly, there's just no room for this kind of behavior in the space program. And on top of all the concerns about the person, the safety, and all, it's just a bad time for the news like this to be out in the nation. I mean, as I was looking at some reports about who ran it, you know, AP ran it, the Associated Press ran the story, and it was picked up, you know, and hundreds of newspapers ran this story somewhere in their newspaper. This is not the kind of publicity this program needs right now. So not only are, you know, this person responsible for the safety of the astronauts, responsible for the safety of Discovery and representing the Kennedy Space Center launch team and representing our nation's space program and have all that on his back. Now he's also got, you know, I mean, we've got leaders deciding the future of the space program. We don't need this kind of bad news. And so I have, again, every confidence that Bob Cabana and the team are going to deal with this. We know that in the history of the shuttle program, and we know that the tens of thousands of people that are out there, we're human, we make mistakes, drugs are a problem in our society, and so we have to deal with it, and we have to face it. We know that not everyone is out there as pure as the driven snow, but on the same time, we have to be responsible for our actions, and more so now than any other time in the history of this program, and so they'll get to the bottom of it. They'll deal with it. This person hopefully will get some help, and we move on, and we successfully fly five more missions this year, possibly six. That's the other kind of big news that came out this week. NASA is considering a sixth space shuttle mission this year. Basically, the idea is that when the final five are flown, that fifth and final flight will still have a rescue capability. In other words, Atlantis will still be ready to fly another mission to go up and rescue that shuttle, should that be necessary. But if that fifth and final flight launches and lands with no issues whatsoever, we still have enough inventory to fly one more mission. And in that case, you would fly it. And if there were any problems with the shuttle at that point, rather than a rescue mission coming up, they would just use the Soyuz space capsules that are already on board the space station and the Russian hardware to bring the people down. That shuttle would only fly, I think I read somewhere, three or four astronauts for that particular mission. But again, it would be a great last chance to bring up some supplies and take advantage of that hardware that you have up there. You know, just thinking, just brainstorming in my head, I wonder if there's any discussion about putting Atlantis up there and docking it permanently. I don't even know if that's technically feasible. I kind of doubt that it would be something you could do permanently. But it'd be a heck of a storage facility up there, that's for sure. What else is going on this week in space? Well, a couple other things worth a mention for Florida. Cecil Field is an airport, a naval air station up in Jacksonville, and been shut down for some time. I'm not really sure exactly how much it's still being used, but the folks that run that airfield have been working with the FAA, and with our own Space Florida people, to turn that into a spaceport, to turn that into one of those runways that could accommodate the kind of horizontal launch and return for the space tourism that we hopefully will see we'll see take off here from California and New Mexico here very soon. I think it's great news for Florida that Cecil Field has a spaceport license. Absolutely wonderful thing. That they're going to do that. And I've heard some people say, well, that's bad for the Space Coast. No, it's good for Florida, and it's good that the rest of the state is paying attention to what the space program can bring to this entire state, not just to Brevard County and the Space Coast. Well, we're going to pause here just for a moment, and when we come back, we're going to have Glenn Mahone from the Coalition for Space Exploration talk to us about what this organization is doing to help promote the space program, and your other thoughts as to where we might be going in the future. But we'll be back in just a moment here. This is Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Behnke, and you're listening to WMMB.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Behnke.
And welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. 321-768-1240 is the number to call from anywhere to join us today with your questions and comments. You can also send us email to spacetalking@aol.com. Before we greet our guests from the Coalition for Space Exploration, I want to just take a real quick minute and just talk about the tragedy in Haiti real quick. You know what happened. You know how serious the situation is. You've heard the stories. You've seen the pictures. You've watched the video. Still, most of it, a lot of it's still coming in. Much of all those pictures and video, by the way, courtesy of the very space technology that is put into space from the launch pads in our backyard right here. You know, so many people need so much help. You know, it's almost too much to grasp. It's almost too much to put your arms around. So if you haven't done so already, please take a moment today and do something to help. Give money, donate blood, do whatever you have to do. If you need some ideas or a link to do some donations or giving, go ahead, go to the WMMB homepage, WMMBAM.com. In the upper left corner there where you see the four or five different pictures scroll through on the homepage, the second of the five of them have a deal where you can click and go and help the folks in Haiti. So please do that. Please take a moment, and just even just a few bucks would help. Okay, thanks. Well, let's see. Well, it was late in January of 2004. We were coming up on the one-year anniversary of the loss of Columbia. I was working for Space.com, making plans to go to Houston in the next day or so to spend the first week of February there, part of the anniversary coverage we were doing. I was driving to the bank here in Melbourne along US 1 to get some cash for the trip, and my cell phone rings, and it's my friend Jim Gennetti, who is no stranger to a lot of folks here along the Space Coast. And at the time, he was chief of staff for the Space Foundation in Colorado Springs. And he's calling me out of the blue to offer me a job because the Space Foundation and several aerospace industry leaders were putting together a new group, a new program, and were interested in having me come and help start it up and act as a sort of an executive director as it got going. And I could spend the rest of the hour now telling. It was a great story about how it all finally came to be. But the short version is that by the end of February, I had retired from journalism after about 12, 15 years, something like that, joined the Space Foundation, was working in Colorado for a few months to help start up what is called the Coalition for Space Exploration. And one of the gentlemen I had the privilege of working with in those days was a senior NASA administrator. He had a lot of different hats and titles that he wore back then, by the name of Glenn Mahone. And Glenn had been appointed to NASA by President Clinton. He was retained when President Bush came along, and at the time when we worked together, was working with NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe to start something that was called the Vision for Space Exploration. A lot has happened since then, yet the work of the coalition continues, and here to help us talk about that and let you know what's going on with this group is the aforementioned Glenn Mahone, who now works for Aerojet and joins me by phone, I believe, from the Washington, D.C. area. Good afternoon, Glenn. Welcome to Space Talk.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you, and thanks for the opportunity to represent the coalition today. It's a real pleasure. And I'd just like to echo your thoughts and your feelings on Haiti. I would like to also encourage people who have not had an opportunity to help out yet to in some way help. It's a devastating situation down there, and they need so much help, and I'd just like to encourage people to do as you indicated, to send in whatever you can, whether it's $1 or $100 or whatever you can. Anything in a situation like that would be helpful.
You know, I was looking at the map, and I was just struck by, you know, how close at least we here in Florida are to it. I think it's closer to Haiti and the earthquake than it is to my home in Minneapolis. You know, it seems so close and so real, and they need help. Well, let's talk about the Coalition for Space Exploration. We've talked about it and we've given its name, but, you know, what are you all about?
Well, let me just give you a little background, and you started that with your conversation about the establishment of it in 2004. The Coalition for Space Exploration is a group of space industry businesses, as well as advocacy groups that collaborates to educate and inform the public and Congress on the value and benefits of space exploration. Mm-hmm. You would think that everyone would know about that, but they actually don't. The coalition helps to ensure that the United States remains a leader in space science as well as technology,
mm-hmm.
and that there are key factors that benefit every American and to strengthen our economy and maintain our national security. The coalition's basic mission is to promote the importance of space exploration to the national agenda via cost-effective, in this day and age certainly, high-yield public outreach activities that include both traditional and new media to help secure political support and budget resources for NASA and for space exploration overall.
Yeah, and this is not meant to be like a national space society, a club that you can join. This isn't something that frankly you're interested in really promoting the coalition itself so much as it is the behind the scenes work of getting the message out.
Exactly, and as you know, it's very difficult because of rules and regulations for NASA and the space industry to toot its own horn. So they don't really have someone out there like the coalition, or they can't do the things that the coalition can do
mm-hmm.
in terms of letting people know exactly what NASA is doing, what it's involved in, the great work that it has done in the past, and the great work that it does now, and certainly, hopefully, the unbelievable work that it's going to do in the future years.
You are now the chairman this year. Are you chairman or co-chairman with Jeannie Krantz?
I'm the chairman, and Jeannie is our co-chairman.
Okay, and she's with who, Jacobs now?
Jacobs, exactly.
Okay.
And she works out of Houston, and I'm out of the Washington area.
And so you all work on your own in your own companies. I know you're with Aerojet. And
yep.
Talk about some of the organizations that are involved in the companies that we're talking about.
Well, obviously we have large companies and we have small companies because we're representing a cross-section of the industry and of business groups, groups such as Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, smaller groups like Paragon, Ball Aerospace, Aerojet. There's about within the public affairs team. There's two different teams. There's the public affairs team, and we're the advocacy group. And then there's the GA team, kind of a sister organization, but they do a lot different. They're on the Hill, and they do lobbying and so forth. And in that particular group, it's about 39 different groups and organizations.
Is that the GA Government Affairs, right?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So,
and they do a great job also. And but we're two different entities, really, that have two different scopes that we work on.
Well, and you're talking about scopes, even just within the public affairs team of the coalition. When I was part of it, you know, you had just started the Vision for Space Exploration. So President Bush had announced this. We were going back to the moon, on to Mars, retiring
right.
the space shuttle, building Constellation. We have a very specific agenda, if you will, a very specific architecture that we were promoting at the time once it was all established. Now it's evolved a little bit over the years, hasn't it? You're more of a general exploration because there's a lot of different ways to do this, and I guess you don't want to take any one kind of particular stand on where we're going or how we're
going
to get there.
No, we do not, and that's one of the things about the group. We are supportive of NASA, and whatever direction that NASA is going in, that's what we're going to support. No particular architecture because most of our companies, you know, do different work, and one might do work on one project and one might do work on another. So what we're doing, we're supporting NASA versus a given area that let's say an Aerojet or a Lockheed or a Boeing might be pursuing. That keeps us on track because, again, we're not singularly in scope.
And again, because you're not out there waving your own flag, you're waving the flag of the space program. We might not be fully aware of some of the things that you've been responsible for doing to help move the needle, help move that public support.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about some of those public things that you've done? I know with educators, with even going to baseball games and making a space day at a baseball game.
Absolutely. We are involved in a lot of different things to promote the agency. We do public affairs announcements and so forth. In fact, we've just over the past year we've done three. We think they've been very successful. We do op-ed pieces all around the country, not just in Washington or Houston or the Cocoa Beach area. We do op-eds all across the country using our board of directors, and we have an outstanding group that advises us on a variety of different issues, from former deputy NASA administrators, astronauts, journalists, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're involved in a lot in terms of promoting NASA in a number of different venues. We run ads in publications all across the country. We do internet blogs. We're very, very, very active, and we're scoping out in a lot of different areas to make sure that we get maximum impact from the efforts that we undertake.
That's great, Glenn. We're coming up on our programs, the bottom of the hour, what we like to call around here our 5-minute built-in hold. So if you would please stand by. When we return from our break, we're going to talk more about the Coalition for Space Exploration, the work it's doing to encourage support for our space program. Remind you that Space Talk is brought to you by United Space Alliance, innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
Well, welcome back to the second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Again, 321-768-1240, the number to call, *1240 for AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast. Email us at spacetalking@AOL.com. And remind you that throughout the week you can follow us on Twitter. The username is Space Talking. And, of course, also remind you that Space Talk can be heard live online right now at WMMBAM.com. And each week, a recording of today's show will be available as a podcast to download, again, at WMMBAM.com. Well, before we continue with Glenn Mahone and looks like a question from Tony from Melbourne. Stand by, Tony. Let's get an update on what our friends at United Space Alliance are up to, courtesy of Tracy Yates. Tracy, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Jim.
Good. Did you have a good holiday break?
I did. I wanted to say hello to Glenn Mahone. United Space Alliance is a member of the Coalition for Space Exploration. It's a great group.
And we certainly, you and I have worked together on projects with that back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking at the temperature here, and in the room here, it gives us the temperature. The high today is 74 at the studio, which is a far cry from when the numbers were reversed a week ago, and the high was only 47.
Indeed, the weather of the last 2 weeks presented a challenge.
Yeah.
You might imagine out at the launch pad.
Chilly out at the launch pad.
Yeah. Some processing operations, which are restricted by the cold temperatures, had to be delayed. Leak checks, bonding operations, some fuel loading, that sort of thing. However, there was enough contingency built into the schedule to absorb those delays. So we are on track for a February 7th launch. Although I have to say I do not envy the men and women working at the pad, where it's almost always windy during that freezing weather.
And no one got their tongue stuck on the handrail, dared them.
As far as I know, no one did. But I did want to say one thing. One problem with the cold weather is that a lot of the large turtles up there in Lagoon in the ocean were in big trouble. And our USA workers got called in to help the game and fish folks who had a turtle rescue operation going on up at the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge. And so some of our folks took some purge units over to the building where they were housing the turtles.
Oh, interesting.
To keep the building warm, yeah. And we also helped with transporting the turtles. So we're a flexible organization.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that story about how technology and nature works together out there is one that does not get enough attention. And I think we ought to add that to our to-do list for this year, is to make sure we do some kind of a story someday about that.
That's a great idea.
Folks on the air.
Yeah, there are some good stories.
Good. Well, Tracy, all right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that processing continues, and we'll get an update from you hopefully next week or the following week.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Tracy. Talk to you again. Okay, Glenn Mahone, welcome back to the show. We're going to keep talking about the Coalition, and we're going to take a question right now from Tony from Melbourne. Tony, welcome to Space Talk.
Hi there, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so with the Space Coalition, the Space Foundation, the United Space Alliance, how do you get all these different companies to work together for the one goal?
Interesting idea, Tony. You know, Glenn, each of the companies, and I think that's a really fair question, because each of the companies have such a different, first of all, different culture.
Right.
And also different business plans. And some of you are competing for the same kind of contracts. I mean,
absolutely.
To be frank about it. So how do you get these folks together and put those competitive differences aside for the common goal?
Well, we all know how important the space program is, and while, you know, an Aerojet is going to compete for contracts and so forth, you know, we're still happy that we have a vibrant and a robust space program, and there are opportunities for all of our companies to participate in the space program. So we're all shooting for the same thing, and that's to make sure that the United States remains number one in terms of space leadership. You know, there's a lot of other space-bearing countries now, and we know how important it is that we remain number one for the various reasons that are out there in terms of technologies, discoveries of technologies, and so forth, and so many other things. So that's one of the reasons that we're able to work towards the same goal, and that goal is leadership in space.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that a positive, strong space program is good for our industry, good for our economy. Good
Absolutely.
For these companies, you know. So I mean, there is some self-interest involved there, but I've always seen it as to be very sincere. I've never seen anybody that I've ever worked with or ever been exposed to in the space program that says to me, oh, this is just about money.
Right.
Or this is just about a job. I mean, it is truly about the mission and doing good, and I think that's great. Now,
and you know, Jim, I don't know of any other industry that people are more dedicated than in the space industry in this country. And you know, we look at our polls, and we look at everything that we do in terms of surveys and so forth. People are excited about the space program, and they realize the many benefits that come along with a very, very good and robust space program.
Well, and I want to ask about polls in just a minute, but Glenn, related to that, you know, the coalition brings the aerospace industry together, but we do have, admittedly, a whole bunch of other space advocacy groups, and
absolutely.
They also tend to have their own agendas, and my frustration has been, and I don't know if you want to say anything about it, but my frustration has been getting all of these groups to be on the same page and in sort of a general direction, because it seems like sometimes we're handed money, not always on a silver platter, but, you know, we're given an opportunity to go do a remarkable thing, and then we all fight amongst ourselves, quote-unquote, for exactly how to do it, and the next thing you know, there's discord and we're reexamining where we're going again.
Well, various groups have different focuses, and it's like the big healthcare debate that's going on in this country now. Everyone knows that we need a good healthcare system in this country. They just think that we should reach it in a variety of different ways. I think it's the same thing with the space industry. The various competing entities and competing organizations just look at it a little differently. It's not that they're not for, again, a vibrant space program,
right.
But they just think that that the approaches and the direction that they should go in accomplishing that are different.
Well, and let's talk about polling and what we've seen, what the coalition has learned and what others are doing. There was a poll that came out this week that got my blood pressure up again, the Rasmussen poll.
I read that, and
the headline was, you know, 50% of Americans want to cut the space program, you know, and it's like, okay, let's go look at the question and see what the question was. And the actual question they asked was, given the state of the economy, should the United States cut back on space exploration? And of course, 50% people said yes. By the way, 50% people also said, should they cut back on space? No, 31%, and 19% not sure. So the other half either was keep it the way it is or we're not so sure.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, there's a little positive spin there too. But the point was, given the state of the economy, then they asked this question. I mean, given the state of the economy, we shouldn't be eating at McDonald's or Wendy's right now. We shouldn't be doing anything. We should be sitting in our house and not spending any money and twiddling our thumbs and
Jim, you make a very good point. Polls are polls, but let me give you some of the results that the coalition has found out over the last several years. And we've worked with Gallup on four polls from as recently as May 2008 back to July 25th.
Right.
The Gallup polls had similar focus, and we were able to trend three of the questions for three of the past polls, 2008 and both 2006 polls. Space program confidence. When asked to rate four issues facing the U.S. today, more than two-thirds of the public stated its confidence in space exploration leadership. This was not the case for handling terrorism, national disasters, or health care needs.
Right.
NASA's budget increase support. Cumulative poll results demonstrate a growing interest in increasing NASA's annual funding from 0.6% to 1% of the total federal budget. 1% is approximately, now get ready for this, 1% is approximately $58 per year for the average citizen.
Right.
That we could go so far in our space program with that kind of budget increase.
That's my favorite one that I made up was that's a double cheeseburger a week.
Right.
You know, with the trimmings on sale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's and the space program's cheaper.
Let me give you one more point, and that's in terms of global space leadership. When questioned on China's plans to send astronauts to the moon by 2017, 1 year prior to NASA's return plans, the majority of respondents consistently believe that the U.S. will maintain its space exploration leadership position. Now, what do we need to do that? We need a vibrant and proactive space program. We need money for the space program. And as you said a little earlier, we need a lot of competing entities working together to accomplish that. And we need the support of the American public, which we think we have, and the support of Congress. With that kind of leadership and with the Obama administration getting ready to roll out its plan for space in the next hopefully in the next month or two,
right.
We think that that we're going to be, we hope at least, we're going to be on the right track and that our space program is going to grow and we're going to maintain that leadership in space.
Yeah, and I think education is key, not only in terms of the pipeline and the workforce and all that, but education to the public. That if they understand the value of this program, then they're going to answer that poll question differently. If they understand the value of the program, they're going to see that we want to increase it, and they're going to understand that the percentage of the budget is so small. I mean, everyone thinks, you know, space must take like half the federal budget, right?
Right.
Because it's so expensive.
Right.
Everything's so expensive.
Jim, you know? let me just share with you some of the coalition's exploration initiatives as we go forward.
In about a minute to go.
Okay. The Coalition for Space Exploration 2009 public outreach efforts garnered more than 31 million impressions. We look forward to an equally successful 2010. The exposure has significantly boosted the coalition's following on major social network platforms, including Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The coalition also continues to take the pulse of the American public to determine how they view NASA and the space exploration. Our years of research has consistently shown strong support for the space program, and that delivers on a promise to improve the future for everyone, and that is so important. I'd like to invite anyone to go to our website and just find out what we're doing and how they can get involved,
yeah.
And that's at spacecoalition.com. So
we're gonna go to it. A couple more words with you when we get back from this next break, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm Jim Behnke. Listen to Space Talk, WMMB.
This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
And as we continue with our final segment of the day, let me remind everyone that the next launch from Florida Space Coast does happen to be Space Shuttle Endeavour, as we talked about with Tracy earlier. Endeavour is scheduled for launch, targeted for launch, I should say, on Super Bowl Sunday, February 7th at 4:39 a.m. in the morning, what possibly could be the last night launch of the program. Glenn Mahone, there's an opportunity for you. Everyone gathered in Miami to watch the Vikings play whoever. Watching a launch from down there, a night launch, that would be an incredible video, good picture.
Absolutely, and if you've never seen a nighttime launch, it's just one of the most spectacular things you could ever want to see.
We got Jerry from Vieira, who, by the way, has written us before online, has a question about polling. Basically, wants to know if you guys plan to do another major Gallup poll to kind of counteract some of this stuff we were just talking about.
Well, I don't know that we really need to counteract it, but we will be doing some additional polling this year, probably even two or three, and then after the president makes his decision, we are planning to run a poll at that time.
And I wouldn't imagine you have any insight as to what the president's going to say.
No, I wish I did.
Yeah, I wish
it's
we all did.
The $54 million question, but knowing that he has two very able people at NASA now, Charlie Bolden and Lloyd Garver, and I believe they do indeed have the president's ear. They've gone through some extensive discovery using the Augustine panel and their own inside NASA folks. And we're excited about maintaining a very, very vibrant, robust space program. And, Jim, let me just I hesitated a few moments ago. It's www.coalitionforspaceexploration.com.
Yeah, I didn't want to gloss over that. Let's talk about that website because I think it's a remarkable website. Very well done, by the way. And it is worth a daily stop there, I think. You've got some good links to stuff that's going on, but some neat homegrown stuff. What are some of the things that that website does for you?
Well, you know, again, 31 million impressions we've had this year. We have some web-based public service announcements that has helped to spread the word about the value of NASA and space exploration. We've produced three since July, Pride and Inspiration, Why Space Matters, and When Was the Last Time You Went to Space? They're inexpensive to produce, and they've gained a lot of traction over the months for us. And so that's it's very robust, and I just encourage people to take a few moments. Once you go to it, you won't take a few moments. You'll be there for several hours, I think, because there's some great links that it's linked to, and people can really, really learn about what's going on in space and the past and where we might very well be going in the future.
Yeah, and I know the future is a little uncertain right now. I guess I wanted to ask you programmatically what are some of the things you plan to do this year? Any major events, any major activities that we can look forward to? Are you just kind of waiting to see what the president says and then kind of execute from there?
No, we will be moving forward, and we've started some projects now that we'll be announcing as we move forward. We'll be participating in a NASA tweet up that's coming in a couple of months. For some reason, I'm not remembering the exact date, but I think it's April or May. Okay. We'll be participating with that. There's also the NASA Day of Remembrance, which, sure, of course, NASA will be observing a Day of Remembrance to reflect on the lives lost of the historic endeavors of our space program. We certainly want to honor those aboard Apollo 1, Challenger, Columbia, as well as other NASA colleagues. So we've got some activities that are planned. We'll be moving out, and we'll be announcing those via our website as well as other ways.
And any thoughts about the wrapping up the shuttle program? Any specific events yet?
Well, I'm a little disappointed that the shuttles are going to stop flying, but you know, we'll see what the new plans are. But no, we'll be participating and moving forward as new plans are announced.
Good. Glenn, thank you so much for your time today and for talking about the coalition, and we continue to we'll continue to work with you and anytime you need us to help you publicize something, we're right here.
Jim, we'll look forward to that, and thank you so much for having the coalition on your show today, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Good. Say hi to all my friends.
Will do. Thank
you. Okay, take care now. Uh-huh. Glenn Mahone, chairman of the Coalition for Space Exploration, joining us this week on Space Talk. One piece of news, by the way, talking about retirement of the space shuttle, there was some news out of NASA this week in regard to the retirement of the vehicles. As you may know, once the shuttle's retired, they're going to go off to various museums, and they dropped the price that it's going to cost a museum to display one of these things. It not only costs you $28.8 million to have a space shuttle in your museum if you can put that together. And truthfully, Kennedy Space Center is the only place that I can think of to put one. Washington's going to get one, the Air and Space Museum. Where you put the other one, I'm not sure, and we can debate that sometime. But the Kennedy Space Center definitely needs to be the home of one. And as we get closer to that decision point, we're going to talk more about that and what this community can do to help make that happen. Well, looking ahead here, next week on Space Talk, my very special guest will be Frederick Ordway. He is a respected space scientist, popular author, and he worked for many years in the Huntsville area with Wernher von Braun. Among his many accomplishments, Mr. Ordway served as a technical consultant for the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey. Not the least of which is accomplishments is that a book that he and Von Braun wrote stood on my bookshelf while I was growing up in Minnesota and was very much an inspiration to me and a source of a lot of facts and good information. Now going on age 83, Mr. Ordway continues to influence and inspire students from all over the world, really, to pursue careers in space. And we're going to be very lucky to have him join us next week. So please stay tuned for that. Between now and then, you can continue to stay up to date with what this Space Talk program is planning to do and what's going on. You are invited to, at any time, visit the WMMB webpage, WMMBAM.com, and use the keywords Space Talk, and you'll go right to our webpage that will update you on guests coming, guests leaving. If we've highlighted some books that we would like you to be aware of, you can follow links to Amazon and purchase those books. And anytime you do that through those links, of course, that helps us support Space Talk financially. Again, WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk. And in the meantime, let's see, this weekend now, well, you know, I couldn't let you go without talking about it. The NFL playoffs, got to get home, get cranking. My picks for the weekend, not that you were asking, Cardinals over Saints, Colts over Ravens, tomorrow the Chargers over the Jets, and Vikings over the Dallas Cowboys by a field goal at the last minute in the Metrodome. If I don't have a heart attack getting through that game, wow. Well, so long as the food is served hot and the drinks are served cold, that's all that really does count, doesn't it? Thanks for listening today. Space Talk brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Bankey, and you're listening to WMMB.